Oh, you may not want to answer that question now.
No, they give us 480 hours now, and they're cutting it to 400. And
oh, I see, carryover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It drops to 320.
No, I have to take 5 furlough days despite the fact that my money does not actually come from the state. They tell me those little protests are still going on. Because it kind of sounds like to me, if the state doesn't get paid to pay me, I get paid directly by the contract and the grant, which comes from the federal government. They can't go and spend that allocated salary money on anything else without redoing the budget. Kind of sounds to me like the university found a way to embezzle 5 days of my pay from NASA.
Yeah, we're having the same thing here, private university, but we're all being told we have to cut back.
Well, that's fine. I'll take my furlough days. It sucks. But don't stand there and tell me that this is the fair way to go.
There was no way I was going
to
get this.
I think it would tick me off more if I was in, like, Mike's position where he actually had to work to bring in his own salary in the first place.
Yeah.
Since I basically leech off Mike, I'm happy to complain for him, but.
Just hope your contract remains funded.
Yeah, that's about the best we can do. Although I'm still marketable, and I'm in kind of the right area of the country for that sort of thing.
We'll all be moving there.
Well, you know, I have a guest room if you guys want to come out in rotation.
I was going to stay with Mitch.
He's in Florida.
I thought he was in Virginia.
Oh, yeah, but he's in, like, way the hell South Virginia or something like that. Where are you in Florida?
Yeah.
In Virginia, Mitch?
He's in Tennessee. But, Dick, you've not been online for a while. My daughter had the baby, and we came down around Christmas time. Well, actually, we came down in September. And it doesn't look like I'm going to get my wife back to Virginia.
At all.
We're down here doing babysitting and stuff like that and living with the kids at the moment. So I've actually closed up my house and winterized it. So it's empty. I mean, you can move in there. The Internet's connected. I have to turn the water back on. But
it's not like it's commuting distance to Washington. That would be in the part of Virginia that was a bit of a controversy during the election when someone referred to it as real Virginia.
Yeah, it's in the Appalachian Mountains, and there's a little community just down the road. We're talking banjo country.
You'd like it, I think, Dick. I think you might enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think I understand why Mitch sounds different now.
I have a bad cold right now.
Oh, that could be it, too. But I noticed on Monday, I didn't even know when you were talking. I said, who's that guy?
And I told Dan, I promised Dan I would try to do better mute control this time since I got into a racking cough on my last telecon without being aware that I was not muted.
I got a very persistent frog in my throat today myself.
Maybe I'll stay here. It's in the 70s. Sun's out.
Yeah, we're getting some bitter cold weather down here, but we're not getting the precipitation.
We aren't either.
Yeah.
No gardens this year.
Well, you know, with tech jobs, you ought to be able to telecommute, right? Get your resume in with the Obamas.
Yeah. Maybe we should let Elizabeth have the phone.
Well, I need to do a roll call. I'm pretty sure I've missed some folks. Richard, Lori, Mitch, Chris, Carol, Ann, and Dick and Betty. Who have I missed? Do we have any GEO representatives?
Lyle's here.
Lyle, I missed you, okay? Okay, do we have anybody from PPI? Anyone from NAIF? All right. And I don't know whether I already asked. Anyone from imaging?
Chris Isbell.
Chris, that's right. I did get you. Okay, good. All right.
Elizabeth, did you get a response from any GEOs on board?
No, I don't think I heard any names.
Okay. And Elizabeth?
Yep.
Just quickly, I signed on, but I have to be away from the phone for about 5 minutes, and I'll be back.
Okay, sounds good. Unfortunately, the one SCR that is remaining that we were going to vote on today is a GEO SCR, so we'll go ahead. All right, might as well start going through the agenda. I'm not envisioning this being a long telecon this morning. I figured we're mainly just catching up, figuring out where we are after the Christmas break picking up speed and getting going again. So, and I've already had Dick suggest.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was trying to go to the SCR site, and I'm telling me that Firefox can't establish a connection to PDS engineering node JPL NASA Go.
Not good.
Well, let me try. That's not an alias I recognize. Let me try another one. PDS engineering works, so it's just the one that's on the title bar that doesn't work. That's probably us, not you.
Okay. Well, let me know if you do have more trouble. We'll try and figure out what's going on.
Okay.
11:27. I'm going to have to plead guilty here. It was my job to go away and find out what the latest version of the SCR was and whether or not it was ready for voting. And with all the confusion of trying to rebuild the database, I have not had time to do that. So I'm going to have to say no update. Moves us on to 11:30. Here, Susie. Good.
I'm here.
Okay. On 11:35, Lyle, do you want to inform the group what the decision was there?
Okay, here's the wording of our working group's final report. It is our opinion that PDFA standard has not been sufficiently established to be considered as an acceptable document format for PDS3. PDFA standard looks promising and should be considered for PDS4.
Okay, so I think...
Or this SCR should be removed in whatever form is appropriate.
Right, I think the procedure would be to park it and move it to PDS4.
Fine.
Sounds good.
So I'm going to move that we do that. I guess that requires a quick run down the group here. Hang on. Where am I? It was 11:35. Okay, so ATM. Lyle, you would vote?
Park
it. Okay. Let me see. Engineering would be next. I'll vote to park. Imaging. Chris, what would you say? Oh, Chris is not here.
He is here.
Oh,
but he's away for a few minutes.
Geo, Susie.
Park.
Okay. Who's next? NAIF, I don't believe there's anyone here. I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so forgive me if I miss people. PPI, also absent. That would bring me to Rings. Mitch?
Park.
Okay. Radio Sciences? Dick?
Park.
And SBN, Ann?
Park.
Okay, did I catch everyone? 3, 4, 5, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, okay, so it is parked and moved to CDS4. Okay.
Elizabeth, sorry to interrupt. This is Chris. I'm back.
Oh, Chris, good. Okay, we had a motion to 11:35, which was the SCR investigating PDFA. The conclusion of the working group was that the format is not ready for use as an archive format, and they're recommending that we investigate it under PDS4, not PDS3. So we had a motion to park this SCR and move it to PDS4. Do you want to vote on that?
I think that sounds good.
Okay.
I would vote yes.
Okay, sounds good. All right, on to the next one. 11:41, increase the data quality ID to 16 characters. Okay, we've had this one around for a while now. Unfortunately, for some reason, it turns out that there was a version 2 of this that I was unaware of. Dick sent me that yesterday. I thought it came through, didn't it, Dick?
I sent it last evening.
Okay, where are we? There we go, SCR 11:41 version 2. Okay. Now, since I did not know about this and therefore did not distribute it, I'm going to postpone the vote on this until everyone's had a chance to review it. Dick, did you have some issues you wanted to discuss about it, or were you mainly doing that in the blog?
Well, the blog has some of them, but let me add a couple.
Okay.
We've discussed whether the messenger use of this keyword, it's an ID, is appropriate for an ID. I'm curious, since the current urgency is high because Release 3 is coming up in July, what happened in Releases 1 and 2? I'm guessing that it's already been used.
It's already been used.
Richard, did you add that there's a further complication? There's another data set now wants to use the same thing?
Oh, shoot. Yes.
I thought you said that was something that Patty had submitted, or...
You know, it might go back to the same source. Sorry, I have to look. I didn't know the origin of it. I think it might be the same source here. It is a messenger imaging thing, so yeah. Let me trace that back.
Okay.
I had another comment that if we're going to rewrite the definition for the keyword, we should mention that it's been used by Clementine and how they've used it. And then the final comment is the way it's rewritten for Messenger, we have explanations of what bytes 0 through 15 are used for, but we have no idea what the values, what the legal values are for any of those bytes. So my own preference would be to go ahead and just get this okayed for Messenger, but then to discourage future use. We've completely undermined the original purpose that this keyword was set up for, and the way Messenger is using it is totally off the wall.
I'm not sure I agree that we've completely...
I don't think I would agree with that. This keyword is supposed to be accompanied by a data quality description.
Exactly.
And if it's not, it probably should be in Messenger, data in the Messenger archive.
Well, I think there's a role for something that would tell people what the data quality is, but we've screwed this one over so badly that I think we should stop people from using it and come up with something better. That's my gut feeling. But anyway, take these four additional comments and see what we can come up with.
I think the biggest problem you're going to face, Dick, is that no matter what keyword you come up with for data quality, missions are going to be wrestling with whether or not, or how to automate the population of that keyword. I mean, this is the biggest problem, is that in its ideal form, you essentially need a human being to review the data to figure out whether or not the quality should be high or low.
Yeah, because quality is subjective, really.
Right, right. Now, I think why Messenger looks as it does is because they've basically done their best to come up with an automated method of determining the quality. And what they've done is they've provided these various parameters that will have an input into the quality of an image. And like I said, they tried to automate the production of those parameters so that one can come up with some total number that will give you some kind of an idea. I think you're going to run into that problem no matter what keyword you come up with. So in other words, we could obsolete this one, come up with some new keyword, and the same thing would happen.
Yeah, but byte 2 is still sort of subjective. It's an excessive number of pixels at or approaching saturation.
It is.
What is approaching saturation?
Okay, I grant that, but it is something that the mission could establish in advance.
But they haven't, as far as I can tell from this rewrite. Or at least it's not included here.
Yeah, it would be more likely to be included in their archive documentation.
I think we'd have real trouble trying to make a one-size-fits-all data quality keyword.
I kind of agree, which is unfortunate because it's the kind of thing that could be useful in searches. But anyway, I think, as you say, Dick, people need time to, number one, review this version 2. And review the comments in the blog. And then I think, Richard, I would like, if you could investigate whether or not the additional information that you'd received from Patty is redundant with what we already know or whether it's new info.
It's the new one I got from Patty is for the EDRs, and this I originally wrote based on getting the RDRs. So and they had mentioned that this is already used in the EDRs. So it's stuff that's already out there and used in the same way.
All right. Well, then I think, again, what I'm going to do is we'll get the version 2 distributed. I would encourage people to review this, review the blog comments. Let's have a bit of an online discussion, and when I feel like the discussion is sort of petering out, we can go ahead and either send it back to the working group to rework it, or if there's no suggestions for changes, go ahead and have a vote on it. So... yeah, basically this one is not ready for a vote at this stage.
I'll put my new comments in the blog.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, so time for telethon. Okay, so we're going to put off vote until group has reviewed version 2 and log comments. Possibly return to working group or send out for vote. Okay. And then the other thing, okay, Richard, okay, so this was EDR use in addition to RDR. Okay, I think we got it. All right, next one is 1145. This is the PSDD file name length cleanup.
I think
yeah, go ahead, Susie.
So when I got your agenda, I sent out an email trying to get this going again. So things are moving, and we're kind of hung up on, well, we are investigating why some file name keywords have certain lengths and other ones don't, and I don't really think I want to get into it in this big group.
That's fine.
Unless everybody really wants to, but it's in progress.
So, okay, so discussion is ongoing in working group.
Right.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, 1146, update reference format to handle DOIs, and I don't even remember what they are right now, digital something identifiers.
Document object identifier.
Thank you, okay. All I basically wanted to do at this point was establish our working group. I've gotten some volunteers. Patty, you had volunteered. Steve was interested, although more from a PDS4 perspective. Dick, you had said if I couldn't find anybody else, you might be willing to do it. And you also suggested Ray Walker.
Well, he's handled these things in the past at the management council level.
Okay.
What's the issue here? You want to handle DOIs as a separate keyword or what?
No. We need to, our current standard for the format of, what the heck is it? Is it reference key ID? I can't remember.
Reference description.
Thank you. Reference description does not include a DOI, so we need to update our reference description.
I want to be on the group.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't like your no.
Since the description is really just free-form text, we're more making a recommendation, aren't we?
No, it's not free-form text. I thought...
Yes, it is.
And wasn't it you, though, that went through quite an exercise to get that thing formulated in a certain...
it's always been what it is. What it says is, I'm looking at the current description for a reference description from the pdsdd.full file. It says, the format for such citations is that employed by the Journal of Geophysical Research. JGR uses the style sheet of, I forget the name of the publishing company, but in fact that...
Okay, hi Boris.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to need to go back and look in more detail because there is somewhere in our standards where we have a format specified, and this was running into problems for these, or excuse me, the DOIs were running into problems.
I find it difficult to believe that there is somewhere a verifier that is parsing the reference description text. And I find that hard to believe because I see so much variation in the reference description text when I look through the reference.
I've been using DOIs for a while now and didn't...
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody somewhere, there was a problem, okay? I'm sorry I don't remember it off the top of my head,
Elizabeth?
But I know this is an issue.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Yeah, the problem is that our software called RefFind actually looks at the text, and the very last part of the text is usually the date for the year.
Okay.
And so it compares that with the date in the ref key ID, and when it sees a mismatch, it reports an error. And with the DOIs, since people who have been using them have been putting them at the very last part of the description, it sees a conflict. Now,
this may not be a standard issue.
This may be
a software bug.
It could be. And Ron could talk more about that software, whether it's...
The standards ref actually provides information on what should go into the reference description and the order in which it should go. So for journal papers, it has to include name of authors, title, name of the periodical, volume or issue, first and last pages, and the year of publication in that order. There is no DOI entry here.
Okay, that's what needs to be updated then, is standards reference. Okay.
Sounds like Ron's software also needs to be updated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minor part of B31, so.
B32.
Which version are you in, Mitch?
I'm in 3.7.
3.7, so it's B32 you said?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so anyway, I should probably talk to Ray but it sounds like we've got a working group. Susie, you were the other person who volunteered. So we've got Ron, how did I miss putting your name down here?
Where?
Okay.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
I will send you, I thought I had a link. I have a link in my bookmarks to the AGU style sheet, which is the style sheet for JGR and other publications.
Please do. I'd appreciate that.
That includes the DOI, and I'm trying to see quickly if it says where it goes, but I don't see it quickly. So I'll just send it to you, and you can distribute it to the committee. It was updated in 2004 to include DOI.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
sure.
that. Okay. All right, so I think that's basically what we needed to do on that one, so I will try and get that group going. Is there anybody who wants to volunteer to lead that group? I'm willing to do it, but if somebody else is excited about the opportunity. All right. Okay, 1147. Susie, this is your SDR. The version 1 has been out since December. So I think why don't you go ahead and remind people what this is about, and hopefully we can go ahead and have a vote.
Okay, I haven't even reminded myself what it's about, just a sec. Two new keywords are proposed. This came up for the CRISM team on MRO. They want to include the source product, start and stop time, in their label for derived products. We couldn't find any existing keywords that serve that purpose, so we proposed these new ones. And I think they're generally useful, so we didn't want to put them in the local data dictionary, but in the big one.
I posted a blog comment yesterday, and it doesn't seem to have made it onto the web page.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, we've got all the blog comments have to go through review, unfortunately, because we're getting spammed big time. So hang on, I can go find that right now.
What did it say, Dick?
Well, I was going to the web page to see if I could remember, but basically it wasn't clear to me why this would be helpful to have the source product times. What you're really interested in are the product start and stop times.
That's already in there, yeah.
Yeah.
In their labels, they have that already.
So why does knowing the source product start and stop times help?
There are multiple source products for one derived product in this particular case, and they want to know the time range of all of them. That is the really first... The earliest and the latest time.
Yep, but if it were SPICE files, it could be the beginning of the mission to the end of the mission. So
these aren't SPICE files.
Are we talking mosaics? Because I could see that definitely being useful in a mosaic.
I guess, how is that different from just what they put for start time and stop time for the file?
Yeah, that's what you really want to know.
Well, I think what Susie's saying is, and we would do the same in imaging, is... you could have a mosaic with, 10 products, and you'd like to know the start and stop time of each product.
But I think that there is a valid point there, is how in a mosaic is that different from just the plain old start and stop for the product. Susie, did you have a different example where the source product was?
It's been so long, I can't remember. I don't think the example they wanted it for was a mosaic. I used that as an example in my write-up because it's familiar to everybody. I would have to go back and look at exactly what
this would typically be a sequence or a set of values, then?
No.
No, it's the earliest of all of the files and the latest of all of the files. Another one of my comments was I would recommend allowing multi-values. And if all you see is single values, then it has to be the earliest of all and latest of all. But I would prefer to have multi-values for these two.
PDF keywords by default are multi-valued.
Dick, that's not what Chris just said. He wanted the source product start time and the source product stop time for each individual image that went into the mosaic.
I think you could use it for that with multiple values if you wanted to.
But the way it's defined now, you couldn't. It's the earliest of all of the files and the latest of all of the files. There's just one time.
Based on the description.
Well, based on the definition that's in this SCR.
Yeah.
It's the latest start time of the source data products. And it's...
It should be latest stop time, not latest start time.
Well, yeah.
Which one? Latest start in the...
stop time.
Yes, you're right.
Earliest start time.
That needs to be fixed. Okay, so... description of... stop time. start. Okay. Okay, any other follow-on comments there or responses to Dick?
Well, I had four in total, and I can't remember
okay,
what the other one was.
Here's in here. I can read it now. It's
oh,
on
okay.
the blog. Okay, one, the definition implies that source product ID is nearby. We need to require it.
But oh, right, yeah. That's
that
important.
Does that put us into the situation of conditional keywords? And, again, I would say that's an issue we're going to hopefully be able to address with the PDS-4 data dictionary. But the only way we could do that here would be to, in the description state that you need to have source product ID.
Yeah, we need to require that other keyword.
Is your statement necessarily true? I mean, for example, again, going back to the example of a mosaic, just because you provide the source product start and stop, do you necessarily need to list every single source product?
Well, how do you know what the times apply to if you don't list the product IDs? The mosaic could be built from any set of images if you don't provide the source product ID.
That's not so much what I'm trying to... I guess this fundamentally falls back on the question of why would you need... In what way would the source product start and stop times be different from the product start and stop time?
Agree.
Which is the question that we haven't got an answer to.
Okay, you'll have to wait till next time when I look it up.
Okay. Or the other possibility, Susie, is if you can get an answer for us and send it out via email or the blog, we can still try and get this resolved via email rather than waiting until our next telecon.
Okay.
Sorry, Susie, this is Chris. Just to clarify, was your original intent to be able to just give the range of all products and not range for specific products?
Yes, that was the original request.
Okay.
But I have no objection to making it multi-valued if you need it to be.
I think it would be more useful.
Well, again, though, as I say, I mean, you don't need to specify that a keyword can be multi-valued. It sort of, by
okay.
definition, is.
Well, I would...
No.
Description.
The way this is written, it
okay,
is single-valued.
I'm sorry. You're right. Syntactically, it can be, but based on the description, it can't be. Okay.
Right.
So, Susie...
Well, here's what I wrote down. A, go back and find out why they couldn't use regular start and stop time. B, change the description so that it doesn't exclude multiple values.
Okay.
And C, change the description so that it requires the presence of source product ID.
All right, and I had a fourth one. Could we use YYYY-DDD in the formation rule?
Sure.
Cassini likes that.
Yes, what I can do is I can make the formation rule consistent with the ones that I was doing in all of the other... Actually, that was date. That I just changed. Okay, yeah. What I did for all the date keywords is I had the preferred one, which is the MM-DD, and then I put in parentheses or, and then the DDD version.
Okay. I'm going to go back on what Dick said. I'm lost on why this requires source product ID.
Susie's going to tell us.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would this necessarily require that? If you build a mosaic, then the rules for building a mosaic tell you that you have to have in the label source product ID for all of the source products. This is just asking for additional information on top of that, so I don't see why you have to link it to source product ID.
Well, this is the source product start and stop time. If you don't know what the source products are...
Well, presumably the people that built the mosaic do know that. But the question is, are they required to list that in the label just because they're listing the start and stop time?
Here's what I'm worried about is that I think I really need to go back and look up that request, but it was not originally for a mosaic. It was more for a cumulative, a time accumulated thing.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that to list all the sources, there might be hundreds of them, but that would be awkward.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. And I can see where they would say, okay, this is, essentially put these together and you have a film sequence that spans 2 days and 500 products. We need to know when it starts and when it finishes, and you go someplace else to find it. I don't know that by virtue of using this keyword, you should have to also put in the product, the source product IDs. What you're building to determine whether you need that.
Is it possible that they're just being lazy, and what they're implying is that all products within this time range are included?
I can't answer without going back.
Yeah,
but again, I think, Dick, the concern I have is that they've already got some product that they're putting together. They've got a bunch of information in the label, and they want to provide some additional specific information, which says the source products we drew from cover this time period from here to here. And I understand that, and I think that does no harm. At the very worst, it does no harm. And it's probably useful to somebody at some point. Your suggestion to make it, not preclude making it multi-value, not requiring it, but not precluding multi-value, I think is useful because that lets this be used in a broader range. But I don't see that this inherently should require additional guidance on how they build whatever the product is they're building. This is
But we're talking about the source products, and I think in that sense it's confusing if you don't include the list of products.
Two questions occur to me. We're talking now about a derived product, a product that was derived from sources. If I see source product start time and stop time, in addition to the standard start time and stop time, my first question is going to be, why are these not exactly the same? If it's just one value, how could the start time for the derived product be any different from the start time for the first source product?
That would argue, and again, we're going to have to wait for an answer from Susie, but the only situation I can figure where that would be the case is where your source product is a product that extends over time, of which you are using some subsample or some subset.
Well, if you're not using that source product that's outside the time range, then it's not really a source product, is it? So that's the first logical problem I have.
No,
the second logical problem I have is this. If you have a list of source product start times and source product stop times, and you also have the source product ID, that's bad practice. You should just include the source product ID, and then if the user wants to know the start and stop time, he really ought to get it from the definitive source, the source product label. So those are the two issues that I would bring up. And you don't have to address them now. You don't have to answer them now. But those are the things that I would like to see addressed in an SCR.
Okay. Would you add those comments on the blog? Would you be able to do that?
Okay.
I'm still concerned that we are thinking about certain types of products and not allowing for other types of products that extend over time. I can imagine raw data from, for example, some kind of an atmospheric instrument, which is sitting there doing sampling over time, and somebody taking that, some of that data, and binning it in a different way to produce a derived product, and he's using part of a source product, so I think the source product ID is legitimate in that case, or to claim the use of a source product, but I don't think he's necessarily using the entire time range of that product.
That's what start time and stop time tell you.
But what I'm saying, though, is you would then have a case where your source time, your product start time and your source product start time could legitimately be different.
Right, but the user doesn't care. The user's interested in the product.
Okay, we're going to have to fall back on finding out from Susie what it is that these guys are trying to do. Okay, so the biggest question is, in what way would source product start and stop time differ from product start and stop time, and why? Yeah. Okay.
Susie, it's Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
I have a possible suggestion if we start getting really wrapped around an axle because of confusion between this and actual start time, stop time, and that is to come up with a single keyword that is a time interval keyword that has two values, the start and the stop, in a single keyword. And then you don't have to call it start time, stop time. It's coverage time or source coverage time. That just lets you get away from the semantics that I think are part of the problem we're having here.
Well, I don't really see how that would... You still have the same questions. How is that different from standard start and stop time?
Yeah, you need a range of times, Mitch. I mean...
You could put them in as a two-valued keyword and at least get away from some of this discussion, I think. But anyway, it's just a thought. I noticed that your formation rule is similar to the formation rule for start time, except that start time only has three Fs after the dot. And I can't remember what we decided was the whether we'd gone to three or six after the dot.
We did go to six. That may be one of the SDRs that's in the process of being updated.
Yes, I think there was a. It never made it all the way through implementation, although it was approved.
Yeah, and the other issue then, Elizabeth, is that means that the data dictionary, the online data dictionary,
mm-hmm.
only has one formation rule for start time.
Meaning you want that updated to include the day of year format as well?
Is that allowed? I'm saying that, is there a
restriction? Is that what your point is?
Yeah, that's my point, is that the online dictionary, it doesn't accommodate both formats.
Okay. Well, like I say, I already did a global change on all date values. It sounds like we may need to do the same thing on all time. Well, I don't want to say all time values, but most of the time values to allow the, or to specify in the formation rule that the day, day of year format is also acceptable, although not preferred.
Sorry.
All right. Okay, so possible need for a new SDR. Adding day of year format. Alternative. All time. Okay. All right. Did we capture all of that? Okay. I think. Sounds like we're waiting on some answers back from Susie before we can move ahead on vote on this. And Susie also, I think you were going to tweak a few things. So we're going to need a version 2 of this.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah, if you want to just keep me in the loop, I can make sure that we get any updates distributed, and if we do have a sufficient answer for some of the questions that have been raised, maybe we can go ahead and get it voted on before the next telecon. So just keep me posted.
Okay.
All right. And finally, 1148, basically no update on that. This is the Phoenix keywords issue. I think everything slowed down a little bit due to the MSL delay, that plus combined with the fact that I've been having to focus mainly on the database recovery. I'll definitely try and get that moving soon, though.
Do they know that we were concerned about some of the proposals?
They heard. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, on that mission, what we may end up having to do is waivers or basically, they just exist in non-compliance. I mean, it's either that or they have to do a redelivery of all the stuff, though.
Right, but the big issue was the propagation into MSL.
Right. Well, and MSL, those folks have agreed that we're going to sit back and do some real work on
okay.
Trying to fix things.
Good.
For precisely that reason. Yeah. All right, anybody have any further issues?
I sent you another SDR yesterday. I didn't
oh, that's right. I'm sorry, Betty.
It's too early because people can't look at it now, but
yeah.
Just to remind you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yesterday was just the most chaotic day, although today's promising to try and compete with it. I don't know whether any of the JPLers got hit by the 210 craziness this morning. No, I guess I was the only one. Okay. Okay, yes, I will get that into the queue. In fact, actually, do you want to submit that, or do you want me to go through the interface and do it?
Or does Betty just want to say a few words?
Oh, actually, yeah, if you want to go ahead and describe what it is, introduce it.
Yeah, why don't I do that? It's for MRO, the instrument mode ID keyword. The definition of it allows values such as numbers and letters, and consequently we have this long list of value, really cryptic values. But it's, right now it's listed as a dynamic standard value type, which means it has to be approved by the standards group or some group in the PDS before a new keyword value can be added. And we wanted to change that to suggested, so just the discipline node could submit them, and we could go ahead and put them in. And so that's basically what it is.
I'm actually wondering if this is a simple enough FCR, if I should just send it out for an e-vote.
Yes.
I mean, this is kind of a brain-dead one.
Yeah, I don't see any immediate problems.
Yeah. Okay, Betty, I will go ahead and get that into the queue and then send it out.
Great.
Okay, so further issues, let me see. Okay. Anything else? Okay, then we should probably figure out when we're going to next meet. We have, today is the 14th. 1, 2, 3, 4. That would bring us to February 11th. Any conflicts with that day? I'm not aware of any meetings going on. Anyone else?
Not at the moment.
That's the day before the proposals are due for the senior
review. I was
review.
Just about to ask about the senior review schedule, yeah.
Okay.
Well, some of us will have submitted them by the 11th.
Yeah, I think probably most of us will, just because of the administration requirements at the institutions and the amount of paper that has to go in, so it's probably not an issue.
Okay, anybody who anticipates that being an issue? Okay, why don't we tentatively schedule it for the 11th? If it's starting to look like a crunch as we get close to that date, let me know, and we can postpone it. But I will say that we're going to go ahead with the 11th as our next meeting. Okay, I think that covers just about everything. All right. Okay, folks, so we'll talk to you roughly in a month. And like I say, I'll go ahead and get some of these things moving, hopefully. Okay, thank you.